You know the old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I'm sorry, but no one enjoys being called names. On the surface, it would seem what appears to be an insult is something much more. We will examine this further. In today's Holy Gospel, Matthew shows us that Jesus, at first glance, does not appear to be the Jesus that we're familiar with. The Jesus I know is caring and compassionate, the teacher and the healer, the Son of God who came to earth to die for all of our sins. The Gospels speak of a tender and loving Savior who gave all that he had for each one of us. But in this Gospel reading, we seem to be seeing an entirely different Jesus. He appears to be harsh and callous, uncaring to a grieving mother who comes to him seeking help. At first, Jesus ignores her, and then Jesus tells his disciples that his ministry is only for the lost sheep of Israel. I'm surprised by what appears to be an insult when Jesus calls her a dog. My goodness. What a reaction to this Gentile woman. This most certainly is not how I would expect God to respond to this woman, to any woman, let alone anyone in crisis. And that insulting name. I think that there's more here than meets our ears. Looking closer at this gospel account, I realized a whole bunch of things. This is not the first time that Jesus has been approached by Gentiles for help. In Luke chapter 6, verse 17, we see Jesus right after he chose his 12 disciples. And the scripture says, a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Jesus healed people from Tyre and Sidon, Gentiles, just like this woman, only a few months earlier. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus healed the servant of a Roman centurion. Romans were Gentiles, just like this woman. And they were hated enemies of the Jews. And yet Jesus did not object to healing that man's servant. So I want to suggest to you that Jesus went to the land of Tyre and Sidon for just this specific meeting with this specific woman. A Canaanite, a pagan, who was probably a worshiper of idols. Jesus had made it noticeably clear how he felt about pagan idol worship. He had said, woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon were the epitome of wickedness. They were sin cities of their day. It was a land filled with immorality, corruption, idol worship, and self-indulgence. As we know, Jews did not have much to do with Gentiles. A Gentile was anyone who was not born of Jewish parents. That would make us all Gentiles. That was part of our prayer. And Paul's story, his prayer from Romans 11. If you were a Gentile, Jews would not even talk to you. They would not eat with you. In fact, they would have hated the very idea of even doing business with you. In first century Judea, Jews had a special bath that was called a mikveh. And you had to be cleansed after dealing with a Gentile. It contained natural water, either spring or groundwater or rainwater for ritual cleansing. More importantly, it was to wash off the ceremonial uncleanliness of items that were purchased from Gentiles. The general attitude towards these non-Jews was that they were ignored and possibly even hated. The Jews even had a term for the Gentiles, and which translated in Greek, kuon. It means a dog, This is not the kind of friendly pet that most of us know. Jews did not give these sorts of dogs names because they were wild animals roaming the streets as scavengers, taking garbage and dragging it through the streets. They were filthy, unclean animals. Well, the disciples saw this woman as a dog and viewed her as worthless, a worthless excuse for a human being. Even worse, she was from the land of Tyre and Sidon, which Jesus had just spoken about. She was one of the worst kinds of Gentiles. Coming to the house where Jesus is staying and crying out for help, the disciples did not want any part of this woman. And they say, "Send her away, for she's shouting after us." Those are words from today's Holy Gospel. They simply don't want her anywhere around them. They think she's not worthy of Jesus' time. Now remember, we're talking about the chosen disciples of Jesus Christ. He selected each one of them to be future leaders in the church that he had come to earth to establish. These men were going to set the pattern for what the church was going to be. They would establish a mindset for generations of believers to come. And apparently, they were filled with hatred of people, especially this woman. They had some growing to do, would you say? On the outside, these men looked like they might be ready for the job of leadership. After all, they'd been following Jesus for several years. They preached to crowds. They've healed the sick. They've cast out demons. They look like they're ready. But no, 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 they're not ready. It would seem that they were like a little old building that's falling apart. There's something dangerous on the inside that makes them structurally in need, serious need of either demolition or extreme makeover to make them useful to Almighty God. And it's the same with these people. Jesus knows exactly what's going through the disciples' minds. He knows how they view this Canaanite woman. And that is precisely why he came to the land of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus knows all about this woman, just like he knew about the woman at the well and her seven husbands. Jesus knows all about this woman, her sorrow, her pain, as well as the pain of her daughter. She is exactly the kind of person that Jesus came to help and save. I want to suggest to you that Jesus loves this woman, but his disciples do not. Jesus said that he had come to seek and save that which was lost, as recorded in Luke chapter 9, verse 10. We know that Jesus spent time with people no one else wanted to have around, tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners. And Romans 5, 8 pretty well sums up why Jesus became a human being, became man. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Apostle Paul writes this in his letter to Titus, "For we all once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis what we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of rebirth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That's Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. Each one of us, and I mean each one of us, has a before. What do I mean by that? We were different before we met Jesus Christ and had him enter into our lives. Our before is not something some of us are proud of. It's amazing. Jesus did not leave us that way in our before. He could have totally ignored each one of us. He could have simply let us go on our merry way on the road to condemnation. But Jesus did not. This woman stood outside that house crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." And you know what? Jesus treated her just the way the disciples expected a Jewish rabbi would, to ignore her, a Gentile. This desperate woman, a mother, pleaded for her daughter, and knowing who Jesus is, she knew his reputation. She would not be ignored. She bowed down before Jesus and kept crying out, "Lord, help me." Her persistence made the disciples uncomfortable, to say the least, and they just wanted her to go away. It was really getting to them, and they said to Jesus, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Jesus' answer was, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." There's something that Jesus wants all of us to learn from this. Jesus' response is an echo of the disciples' inner feelings. He says, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And so I return to the words at the beginning of this message. Jesus does not say this to insult her. In fact, he doesn't even use the same kind of word that most Jews would have thrown at her. Remember, I spoke about the Greek word kuon being dog, a wild mongrel? Jesus uses a slightly different word, which when translated in Greek, kunarion, it means a little dog or a puppy, a beloved pet. Jesus didn't say mongrel, but instead something that was precious. There's quite a difference here. Jesus does not let us down. He is the loving Savior, to be sure. The word is used throughout their exchange. In first century Israel, people would keep little dogs as pets, just like we do. Nothing's changed. If you love pets, you know that they're a part of the family. And when they pass on, it's terrible. They are very special to us. I can just imagine the smile on this woman's face because Jesus told her in a remarkably simple way that she was loved by God. She gratefully says to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." A wild mongrel is not going to be inside the master's house to eat the crumbs from the floor. But a kunarion is a pet, a beloved pet. Now, those words might sound familiar. As a matter of fact, we will pray very similar words to that in just a few moments in the prayer of humble access. We will pray these words: "We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose character is always to have mercy." We'll be praying those from page 135 in our prayer book. God loved even this Canaanite woman. And God's love reaches far beyond the Jews, just as it reached to each one of us who are grafted in. Jesus told her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed that very hour. Thank you, Jesus. With great confidence, my brothers and sisters, let each one of us prepare to receive his love, healing, and mercy in great faith in his holy sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.